me put Ahmed's offering somewhere because he's going to be buying some ice cream this afternoon. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I see your faces. Some of you are sad. Some of you are happy. I mean, a good kind of happiness. And but we're all okay by the grace of God. Amen. God is with us, and God will keep us, and God will preserve us. Amen. Amen. And we thank God for the opportunity He is giving us to be here and to serve with you and to be part of this wonderful congregation. If I wasn't your pastor, I would envy your pastor. And so I'm sure I'll be envying Pastor Henry. Hallelujah. But it's been great, and it will even be greater. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you so much for this morning, and we thank you for such a day, Lord. And we know that much as our hearts are heavy, we are also thankful for the privilege and for the opportunity. And we know that better days are ahead. We pray that the comfort of the Holy Spirit will be with us. And we pray, Lord, that you will strengthen us, strengthen the church, strengthen Pastor Henry, and strengthen the members in the name of Jesus. Let your spirit be with us. Know that you have it all sorted out already. And so we'll just flow with you. We're grateful in Jesus' name. Bless our short time in your word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, please be seated. Let me share a few things with you from the Bible before we close today. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, I believe that it's been a wonderful experience for me to be here and to have known all of you. Amen. And all of you in your own ways have been amazing and fantastic members. Amen.
Amen.
Even those who do not come regularly, you see. But I believe that there are two, every church has two types of members. Members who come and members who don't come. But they are all members. Amen. So I don't count my church members only by who I see. I count those that I don't see often as well. And I count those who haven't been, even if they haven't been around or whatever, you know, you're all our members. And we love you all equally. Amen. And we always pray for you, that God will make a way for you. We understand sometimes you have to go to work, sometimes different things, and sometimes you are also just not in the mood. But we're praying that God will give you more moods that favor coming to church. Amen.
Amen.
But God, in the end, or at the end of the day, it is God we're trying to serve. Amen. And God often will put somebody in your life for a season to do something in particular. Do you see? Then sometimes the season comes to an end. Then he needs to replace the person with another person to do something else, or to take it up from where the other person has left off. Hallelujah. And when you are walking with God, it is important that, number one, you are conscious of him and what he's doing with your life. Do you see what I'm saying? And then number two, it is important that you respect the transitions that he takes you through in order to fulfill his plans and purposes in your life. Amen.
Amen.
See, if you are building a house, you will not keep the same person at the site from beginning to end. Amen. Now, the guy who comes to dig the foundation has a unique gift that makes him the best person to dig that foundation. Then he probably does the brickwork, and he does it up to a point. Do you understand? But there comes a time when you need someone who knows something about wires, who can put wires in the building so that you can have light and so that it all makes sense. Now, if you continue to keep the mason at the site when the electrician should be there, you will find out that that same house that you are building, which seemed to be progressing, suddenly starts to halt in progress, and it does not do as well as it should do. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you find that at different seasons and different stages of what you're doing, you bring different people, but it's the same project. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's the same project, and the project owner is still the same, and that is God. And as long as he is still in the project and he is still interested in the project, you are just fine. That building will be fine. It will only look better and better and better. And one day the mason is going to walk by, the electrician is going to walk by, the plumber is going to walk by, and they'll all look at the building and be so proud of it, because each one is going to see his contribution and how it works with the others to produce such a beautiful structure that can do what it was built to do. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So I know that from all that you are saying and so on, I can see that our presence here has been a blessing to your life, and we thank God for it. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. But I want you also to look forward to the next stage of this process. Amen. Yeah. The next stage in what God is doing or has begun with your life. Hallelujah. As God introduces a new person, as God brings into your life a new person, you need to embrace that person. Amen. The same way you have embraced us. Amen. Amen. You need to open your mouth the same way. If I am still the same person, and if I have changed the spoon. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. See, I'm feeding you, then at a point I change the spoon. Do you see what I'm saying? When I change the spoon, because sometimes you're eating, what do we eat? Jollof and wache and what else? You see, then you get to a place where now you have to eat some ice cream. Do you understand? So you have to change the spoon. Because you can't bring the palm oil into the vanilla ice cream. You spoil the whole thing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So you have to change it. But when the spoon changes, as long as the person who's using the spoon is the same, you should still trust and open your mouth. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. But if you keep your eye on the old spoon while the person is using a new one, then you will begin to stop. Are you getting what I'm saying? So I really want to encourage you, and I want you to believe that God has not finished with you. God is still working with you. God is going to use Pastor Henry to be such a blessing to you. Hallelujah. The love of God for people, you know, the love of God for people is always shown in who he gives them. The way God loves people is by giving them somebody. Amen. God always would put someone in your life as his proof. Amen. To you that he cares about you and loves you. And then it will be up to you to embrace the person so that you can receive the blessing that God puts him in your life to bring to you. Amen. And I'm going to show you one or two scriptures that will convince you, hopefully, about what I am saying. Amen. Amen. All right. So number one, John chapter 3 and verse 16. John chapter 3 and verse 16, number 1, it says, "For God so loved the world." Can you see that? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Isn't it?
Yeah.
"That whosoever believes in him," or believeth in him, "should not perish but have everlasting life." Hallelujah. So right from this verse we can see that God so loves the world, God so loves the world that he does not want them to perish but have everlasting life. Isn't it? So to cause them to experience everlasting life and not experience the perishing, he does what he can do, which is to give you his only begotten son. Do you understand? After that, the rest of experiencing everlasting life and the rest of avoiding perishing actually does not depend on God anymore, but on you. So it says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." After that, the next action that will lead ultimately to the experiencing of everlasting life and avoidance of perishing depends no longer on God, but on you and what you do with the only son that he sent to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Look, today is my last day here. Please don't freeze me. I need to come to the church. Amen.
Amen.
Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So it is very, very important for us to understand that when you are walking with God,
hello,
when you are walking with God, to experience fully the things that God has ordained for your life, hallelujah, you will find him sending different people into your life at different seasons of your life. Hallelujah. And when God says, "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life," it's like God is playing a game of tennis with you. And he takes the ball. He so loves, he's very interested in playing tennis with you, that he takes the ball and then he serves it. And it comes to your side of the court. Now after that, there's nothing else he can do for the game to continue. After that, you have to take the ball from your end and you also have to hit it back. Do you understand? When you hit it back, then God can also respond, and then now we have a game. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So it says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." After that, you are the one who must now believe in him. Do you understand? It says you believe in him, then suddenly you begin to experience the real things that God intended for you to experience, for which reason he gave you his son. Can I have an amen? So that is the first example that I can give you to convince you about how you should relate with Reverend Henry after today. Amen.
Amen.
Now I know that many of you already love Pastor Henry and you do not have any problem with receiving him. Do you get it? But just to give you a scriptural basis to do what you're already doing. Hallelujah. Because I want you to be convinced about it and to be convinced about him, so that you can do the best that you can to love him and to support him. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Right? Now, the second verse I can share with you is from 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9. This verse is a very similar verse to the one that I read before. Hallelujah. Yes. It's similar to the one I read before. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9. It says, In this was manifested the love of God towards us.
In this is how God showed his love towards us. See, many people think that if God loves me, why does he allow this to happen to me? Why didn't he let me get hired at that last interview? Why did he allow my beloved to break up with me? Why did he allow my loved one to pass away? Recently, I was in a church and I was preaching. After the service, a certain lady came to see me and she said to me that I don't know. She said, can you believe that I finally met someone that I liked? Someone that I liked so much. He was everything, she said, he was everything I looked for in a guy. I said, wow. Then she started, she said, he was 6'2".
Wow.
You know, and she went on and she was talking. Then she said, but Bishop, can you believe he died? Oh, I could not, I've never heard such a thing before my whole life. That someone starts a story which is so full of brightness and ends with such darkness suddenly. She said, can you believe he just died? I said, oh, how? She said, yes, he died on me. He just died. So what happened to him? He said he woke up one morning, he said he was feeling very hot, he started sweating, they took him to the emergency room, and that was it. Oh! And I remember one of the things when she was talking about, I met someone who was everything I've ever looked for. You know, then she said, he was so much like my father. Oh! So, why did I tell you that story? Huh? You wouldn't understand why God. So what I'm trying to say is that most of us judge God's love in things that he does. Do you see? Or things that he does not do or appear to do. Do you understand? But you realize that in the Bible, often when God wants you to have something, he rather gives you a person through whom you can have that thing. Do you understand? So that is how come John 3:16 said, because if God really wants you not to perish, and God really wants you to have everlasting life, why does he have to give his son? What is the purpose of the middleman? Do you understand? Why doesn't he just go forth? After all, the Bible says with God everything is possible, isn't it?
Yes.
Nothing shall be impossible. Why doesn't God just give you what he wants you to experience directly? Yes. But he seems to want you to experience something, but he puts somebody in your life through whom you can come into that place. Yes. Are you getting the picture? Yeah. So look at this verse again. He says, this is how the love of God was manifested towards us. Because that God sent us his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. Do you see? So what God wanted to give you was life. God wanted a person to live. God wanted to give us someone through, or God wanted to give us life, I should say. Amen. But instead of taking life itself and depositing it in your life, he gives you someone through whom you can experience that life that he has wanted for you to have. What do you think? Is it powerful?
Yeah.
L'amour, I have to speak some French at least today. Yes. L'amour de Dieu a été manifesté. Do you see? Where's Monique?
Envers nous.
En ce que Dieu a envoyé. Son fils l'a envoyé. Envoyé is like envoy.
Yeah.
Representative.
Yeah.
Aussi, la representative. Son fils, envoyé son fils unique. Huh? C'est très différent from all other some fields. Dans le monde, hein? In the world, right? Then what? Afin que nous vivons. Nous is we vivons par lui. Yeah. Tell your neighbor, tu vivons par lui. Hallelujah. You see, so God wants you to have a lot of vivant. And God wants you to experience lui to the highest degree. Do you get it? But to bring you to that place, you will not suddenly find yourself in the vivant and in the lui. Rather, he will give you somebody through whom you come to that place. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let me show you a third verse. John chapter 1 and verse 11. John chapter 1 and verse 11. Have you found John chapter 1 and verse 11? Hallelujah. Are you learning something from these verses? John chapter 1 verse 11 and verse 12. It says, and he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Hallelujah. His own received him not. Then verse 12. Look at verse 12. Verse 12 says, but as many as received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Hallelujah. Amen. So once again, you see that God is trying to help people, and the people are doing something else. And as long as they do something else, he doesn't force them. But to those who received the person that was sent, that person that was sent, whom others turned away from without consequence, was also the same person who was carrying power to help them become sons of God. Hallelujah. Can you imagine that? That sometimes you don't know who you have walked away from. You don't know who you have turned away from. You don't know who you refuse to open your doors to. You don't know who God sent to you. And you don't know, of course, what you have missed. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Can you imagine, read verse 11 again. Verse 11. He came to his own and his own received him not. They thought it was a person, but they didn't know they were turning away from the power to become sons of God. Do you understand? That person was coming to their lives, but what they were turning away from was the power to become sons of God. Hallelujah. It is like you're in your house and I call you and you say you're hungry, and I'm thinking, wow, how can I help you? Then I so love you that I call Pizza Hut and I say, deliver pizza to that house. Wow. I mean, toppings. Chicken, pineapple, some olives, barbecue sauce, and what?
Mushrooms.
Let's design our own pizza. Green peppers, jalapeno, and then what? Anchovies. Hey! Hallelujah! So we have made our custom made. I have designed it out of my love for you. Do you understand? But how many know that pizza does not walk from Pizza Hut to your house? So that's where the messenger comes in. Do you understand? So when you hear a knock on your door and you refuse to open the door because you look in your peephole and the person standing there is wearing a beard, he's wearing a cap that has whatever written on it, and he looks funny. And because of that, you do not open. open the door to him because he is not as impressive as you are used to experiencing people. Do you understand? Yeah. And you say no to him. When you refuse to open the door to such a person, it's not a person you are rejecting, but you are also rejecting the pizza that he's coming to you, he's bringing to your house. But the truth is that his mission in your house is not really, it's not him, because he's not your friend. That's not why he's coming. He's coming because he's been sent. What he's carrying is what you are interested in. Are you getting what I'm saying? What he's carrying, because of where he's coming from, that's what you're interested in. So when you say someone is a man of God, it makes a big difference. Just like when you say he's a pizza man, it makes a big difference. It means he's a different man from every kind of person. And on a day when you're hungry, he's such a blessing to meet. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So he came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, as many as received him. You see, that's why I'm saying that God may do his best for you, but the rest of it really depends on you. The rest of it depends on how you see, how you receive. You know, there are some people, once we see a pastor is going and another pastor is coming, oh, the church is bought. Yeah, their whole attitude just changes. They stop coming to church. They stop, you know, flowing a certain way. They stop being zealous, you know, because they feel like, oh, you know, the person we know or the person we love or the person we like is no longer there. So it's not the same anymore. Yeah. Hallelujah. And he said that if you received him, you experienced the power to become the sons of God. Of course, if you had to become it, then you were not it before. Is it not true? Yeah. Anything you have to become, you are just not it. If you have to become it, then you are not it. Isn't it? And many of us have dreams. We have things we want to become. We have things we want to experience. And God wants you to experience them too. Some of you are struggling to be a good Christian. You are struggling to be committed. You are struggling even to engage a normal Christian routine of reading your Bible every day or coming to church every week, etc. Now, to get you to that place, God gives you someone who helps you get there. Because you realize that according to the verse, we don't just become things. Between what you want to become and becoming it, you need some power. Wow. Isn't it? You need some power. Because sometimes you know what to do. Sometimes you know where to go. You even know what to say. But the motivation to just propel yourself to that place is just not there. Are you hearing what I'm sharing with you today? That is the reason why God gives us people. And these people give us power to become what we are supposed to become by His grace. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I want you to look at it very carefully and to understand that what God is doing in this season of your life is just simply changing who He's been using to bring that power into your life. That's all that God is doing. But God is still in the business of bringing that power into your life. He's just changing who He's using. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And who are we? We can't have such a project. It's God who has such a project. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is God who is doing all of this. And really, when God has not stopped work, the work does not stop. It continues regardless of which laborers or which people He's using. Every time you see the workers are changing, but the thing is still the same. Because the one who is doing it is still doing it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me give you another verse. I'm giving you five of them. Wow. How many do you have? Three. Right. Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. Have you found Isaiah chapter 43? Okay. Amen. Amen. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 4. Since thou was precious in my sight. Since thou was precious in my sight. Everybody say, I am precious in his sight. I am precious. Place your hand on your chest and say, I'm precious in his sight.
I am precious in his
sight. Isn't that comforting to know?
Yeah.
The Bible says God has counted even the hairs on your head.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yes.
Yeah. God has counted the hairs on your head. I mean, when you add even the attachments,
hey.
I mean, just count. You can never confuse God by your attachments. He knows how many there are. Yeah. It's easy. Anytime you crop your hair and you shape everything, that's very easy. You just write zero. That's that one is easy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You are precious to him. Even you are not counting your own hairs. That means God cares about you more than you. Isn't it? Now, how does God express that? He says, you have been honorable. And I have loved thee. Therefore, because of that, I will give men for thee and people for your life.
Wow.
God will assign people for your life. Look, a pastor is a very supernatural person. You know, because we are not naturally interested in other people's business. Do you understand? Yeah, we are not naturally interested in other people's welfare. Even our interest in other people or apparent interest in other people's welfare is often connected to our own welfare.
Yeah.
Is it not true?
Yes.
Yeah. We want someone to succeed because their success somehow affects us one way or the other. Yeah. Sometimes you even want someone to have a job so that you don't have to have the responsibility of tipping him anymore. Do you see what I'm saying? So your fervent prayer for him is actually a deliverance for yourself. Yeah. You say, Lord, oh Lord, make a way, Lord. And the person goes away thinking they have experienced such powerful love and prayer. They don't know that you're loving yourself. It's me. I'm loving me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But God said, I will give people for your life. It's like giving clutches to someone. Because God knows how life is. And he knows that you can't just go through life by yourself. Life is not something you just go through alone. You need clutches. Is it clutches or crutches? The one in the car is the clutch. So is there one on you is the crutch? Yeah. Okay, remember when you look crouched like that, you're on crutches. Okay. So he says, I will give people, it's like giving you crutches and then you are just going. You know, you are the one walking, but you have these two things on your side that you need to make your walking and to make your vision and to make your goals possible. Because you have these two supports that are on your side. Do you understand? Yeah. Without those two things, you have a dream, you have a place. You even want to go to the bathroom, you can't go. And sometimes the difference between where you are and where you want to be is because you don't have help. Do you understand? And God says, because you are precious in my sight, I will give people for your life. I will give people for your life. I will give you somebody for your life. I will give you, KK, God said, I will give you somebody for your life. So don't be surprised. You know, look, who was it that was saying that the person said they were speaking to me for 10 minutes? I think it was a
Gifty.
Look. 10 minutes with someone who has been sent to you by God will make such a big difference in your life. That is the truth. If the person has been sent to you, 10 minutes with the person is going to make a big difference.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. You think about it. How long do you have to spend with a spoon that is coming to your mouth? They fetched the thing like that and directed it to your mouth. Just 2 2 seconds of embracing it brings such glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So God said, I'll give people for your life.
Wow.
So do not be surprised if you will just receive Pastor Henry as someone that God has now. It's like from now on, this is the person that God has given for my life. Hallelujah. You will be amazed. You will be amazed. You will be amazed because it's not the person. It is who gave him.
Yeah.
Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Like I said, it's not the delivery man. It's not him. Because he doesn't make the pizza. But he just delivers what has been made by someone else. Hallelujah. And when you receive him, what a difference it makes in your life. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
And then let me share one more verse with you before we close. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you being blessed? Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37. Matthew 23 and verse 37. 37, 38, and 39. He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Tell your neighbor, don't stone your prophet. And don't stone the one who has been sent to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It bothers God that you reject someone that he has sent to you. Hallelujah. Because rejecting someone who has been sent to you by God is not without consequence. Hallelujah. It says here, he says, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. You would not let me gather you. You see? And I'm sure these people were wondering, what is he talking about? How can he say that we have refused to be gathered? Then he said to them, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. You see, the things that are supposed to be happening in your life are not happening, you know. For I say to you that you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He says, look, you are experiencing desolation because of your habit of throwing stones at people that I have sent to you. Hallelujah. Throwing stones at people that I have sent to you. And sometimes even trying to embrace people that have not been sent to you. Do you understand? Sometimes people are without. Because the one that you should open the door to, you've closed the door to that person. And someone else who has not been sent to you, you are walking towards that person. Now, if you start walking towards a pizza man who does not have your pizza, your next door neighbor ordered pizza, and the guy is just passing in front of your house. Then you step out and you are trying to intercept the thing. And you are saying that as long as you are hungry, this must be for you. You are making a mistake. Hallelujah. So the best person for your life is the one that has been sent to you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The one who has been sent to you is the one that is the best person for your life. Not the one who has been sent to another person. Hallelujah. Sometimes you see people, they've been sent to another person, another pastor and his congregation, and he preaches well and he sounds good and everything, but he's for them.
Wow.
He has not been sent to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? But the one who has what you need is the one who has the expression of the love that God has for you, or that whoever ordered the pizza, you will find the expression of the love in the pizza he ordered for your house. You will not find it in the one that is going by accident to the next door neighbor's house.
Yeah.
Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So you need to take the one that has been given to you. Hallelujah. and you'll be amazed. He says that you guys will not see me. He said, you shall not see me till you say, blessed is he that cometh. So I'm in the one who is coming. He says, when you embrace the one who is coming, when you embrace the one who is coming, then you will see me. Can you imagine that? He says, you will not see me. It means I'm in the one who is coming. My love is expressed in the one who is coming. And when you embrace that one, you will see me and you will see and experience my love. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I want to close by saying, you know, everybody needs room to grow. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I believe that right before your eyes, you're going to watch Pastor Henry grow into something and someone that you never even imagined. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. And everybody just needs... You see, let me show you. This will be bonus verses, okay? So it's one verse or one chapter, and I'll show you two verses there, and that will be bonus. Amen? It's free. Your offerings won't cover that one. It's just free. Amen. All right. So... Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. The book of Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. The Bible says, and the child grew. Can you see that?
Yes.
The Bible says, and the child grew and walked strong in spirit, filled with the wisdom of God. And the grace of God was upon him.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can you imagine that the grace of God is upon the child?
Yes.
The person is a child. The person may be young. The person may be new. But the person is filled with wisdom because the grace of God is upon him.
Wow.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, I don't know what your estimation of Reverend Henry is. And I don't know what you think of him. See, there are some of you who have things you would share with me, but you won't share it with Professor Henry. You get it? Because you think that, oh, you know, yeah, this is a young pastor. Or apprentice. Do you see what I'm saying? But look out for where the grace is. That's where the wisdom is. Are you getting what I'm saying? Where the grace is, that's where the wisdom is. It says, the grace of God was upon him, and that makes a world of difference.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
I would rather follow a child who has the grace of God upon him than a grown person who has no grace of God upon him.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The grace of God was upon him. And he says, he was filled with wisdom. You know, and he waxed strong in spirit. And he says the child grew because it's a process. Everybody needs time to grow.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the way you see him today, you are going to see what time is going to change.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now watch the last verse, verse 52 of this same chapter. Still talking about the child. Then when you get to verse 52, now they are not calling him a child anymore. Now he has a name.
Okay.
Can you see that?
Yeah.
Do you see where the process has brought him to?
Yeah.
The process of growing up has brought him to a place where now he has his own identity.
Yeah.
And he's called Jesus. And now he increases in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and in favor with man. Hallelujah. So if you have been following him since he was a child, you'll find at this stage that you back the right horse.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
If you've been following him while he was a child, you realize that the wisdom has increased. Then his stature and significance has increased. Then his favor with God has also increased.
Wow.
That means God likes him more. And if you know anybody that God likes, follow that person and let that person pray for you often.
Amen.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the same reason why sometimes you go and see someone who knows someone so that the person can get that someone. Because it's not like you don't know who has to be seen. You know the person, but there's something that is not there between you and the person. That thing is called favor. So you find someone who has that favor. Then you go to that person and say, can you speak to this one so that the person will give me a job? Can you speak to this one so that the person, even sometimes you tell the person, can you speak to this one and tell her I want to marry her? You say, yeah. You say, I want to marry her, but she doesn't believe me. Can you speak to, can you speak to this one? Yeah. And that's what I meant. And and gifted, that's what they experience. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So as you are following the person is growing. If Jesus had to grow, why won't we give Pastor Harry a chance? Think about it. If Jesus, at some point he was so insignificant, they don't even mention his name. Meanwhile, before he was born, his name was given. Say, you shall call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So the name was known. It's just that the person, he was just so insignificant that we just had to refer to him as a child. Just like you see how you go, when you give birth to a baby, you say the baby. It's not like they have no name. Before the baby leaves the hospital, they have a name.
Mm-hmm.
But when people give names to their baby, even sometimes if they have to give a name, they ignore the real name and find some type of pet name, Chuku Chuku, or or some type of something. See, this guy, he used to be called Cuckoo. See, he used to be called Cuckoo. And when his mother would call him Cuckoo, a certain fondness that made me jealous, man. Meanwhile, we had named him Joel.
Yeah.
You see the thing? But it's like, as for Joel, we know.
Wow.
Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. A certain insignificance that makes them not even refer to him by his name. But that doesn't last forever. Because the person is changing. The grace of God is with him. Look, if the grace of God is with someone, follow him.
Amen.
If the grace, because the grace of God will fix every infirmity. The grace of God will make things not count which should count. And will make things count which should not count. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The grace of God is like the thing that corrects. It's like the thing that puts things, you know, like sometime the other day I was driving in the night and I was going off the road because I was falling asleep. You know, and then as I was falling asleep and I was going, you know, the thing they put on the side of the road, that, that's how the grace of God works. That's how the grace, you are driving the thing and you are moving and you think you are going the right direction, but you are heading towards a ditch. Then suddenly, and you see you are back on. The grace of God is the thing that keeps correcting you. That's what keeps correcting you. So when you see someone who has made it, it's not like they have an extraordinary ability to avoid mistakes and to choose the right things all the time. I mean, come on. It's the grace of God. The grace of God. Sometimes I look back at my life and I look at some of the decisions I made. I don't. You see, when someone looks at you many years after the fact, they think that you've always taken the right decision. You see what I'm saying? But it's not like that. Some of the things were done out of stupidity, out of anger, out of ignorance, and you are just plunging yourself into something you don't even know what you're doing. But if you have the grace of God, because look, when someone is driving and you are carrying this big thing and moving it at 80 miles per hour and you're falling asleep. Can you imagine the danger you're in and the thing is started to head towards the right? And it's headed towards the right at 80 miles per hour and to the right is a ditch. I mean, you don't understand how close you come to dying. But for that little thing on the side of the road, which you may not respect much, but it gives the car a little shake And before you know it, a sleepy person is now back on the road. And he makes it. And you arrive in your house at 2 a.m. And you look like James Bond. You see the thing. Meanwhile, you are just a product of grace. It's those things on the side of the road. And they are on this side and they are on that side. You know, so the grace of God being on your right side, being on your left side, it keeps you in the middle of the road in spite of all your natural failings and all your natural tendencies to choose the wrong thing, to go to the wrong place, to hang out with the wrong person. Oh. You see, sometimes you don't even know. You see somebody will go and marry someone they shouldn't even be marrying. Then somehow it works. It works. It's called the grace of God. It's not that you did the right thing. No, you didn't do the right thing. It was still wrong. But somehow it has worked. You are just like that person. You should have been dead. But that thing on the roadside, it didn't allow you to die. The grace of God pushed you back in the road. So when you see someone who has the grace of God upon his life, believe in the person, follow the person, and flow with the person. Because soon you see his name changes. His name is now Jesus. Then the Bible says he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. Everybody starts from somewhere and grows into what he's supposed to be. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. And I know that he's going to grow before you beautifully, and he's going to be a great pastor to you. Yeah. Many of you are going to love him. You're going to see him as the best thing that happened to you. You mark it somewhere. You're going to be so glad that you met somebody like that. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So I think I've given you 5 verses, one bonus. I think it's okay. Hallelujah. So God bless you. Amen. And I want to encourage you to continue to help. Amen. And continue to support and continue to believe, you know, continue to believe in the thing. In fact, I've just remembered one verse. I think I should give it to you. This is my last Sunday. Use that for next Sunday. Okay. All right. Let me just show it to you, because there's something in there that I thought you should see very quickly before we close. Amen. Amen. Today you're going to use your last forgiveness for me, and then that will be it. Hallelujah. All right. It's in 2 Chronicles chapter 2. 2 Chronicles chapter 2 and from verse 11. 2 Chronicles chapter 2 and from verse 11. And we're going to read down a little bit. It says, then Huram the king of Tyre answered in writing, which he sent to Solomon. This is what he sent in the letter. He said, because the Lord has loved his people, he has made thee king over them. Can you see that?
Yes.
It is because God has loved his people that he has made you king over them. So in verse 12, Huram said moreover, blessed be the Lord God of Israel that made heaven and earth, who has given to David the king a wise son, endued with prudence and understanding, that might build an house for the Lord and an house for his kingdom. Do you understand? What he started by saying is, first of all, he said that God must have loved his people. That's why he gave them someone like you. Which is what we've been saying, isn't it?
Yeah.
Then in the second instance, he says that that person that has been given seems to be endued with prudence and understanding for building a house of God.
Wow.
Do you understand? So when you acknowledge, number one, that God has loved you, and so he has given somebody, you understand? Then number two, you look at what the person is doing. And he says that here, the person seems to have wisdom and seems to have the know-how for building the house of the Lord. And says, a house for his kingdom, right? So the verse 13, he says, so now I, my contribution, do you understand? I have sent a cunning man, endued with understanding of Huram my father's. Then the verse 14, you know, the son of a woman of the daughters of Dan, and his father was a man of Tyre, skillful to work in gold and in silver, in brass, in iron, in stone, and in timber. in purple, in blue, and in fine linen, in crimson, also to grave any manner of graving, and to find out every device which shall be put to him. Then verse 15, with thy cunning men, and with the cunning men of my Lord David thy father. Hallelujah. Amen. Then verse 15, he says, now therefore the wheat and the barley and the oil and the wine which my Lord has spoken of, let him send unto his servants. And verse 16, we will cut wood out of Lebanon as much as thou shalt need, and we will bring it to thee in floats by sea to Joppa. Thou shalt carry it up to Jerusalem. Look, what he's saying is that I noticed, number one, that God must have loved his people. That's why he gave you to them. Then number two, I observed that you seem to have understanding for building the house of God and building his kingdom. So I cannot sit back and just watch you do it. So here is my contribution. Because I recognize that you are endued with grace to do this thing. Because I see that God's hand is upon you to do what you are doing. I'm not going to sit back and just watch you do it. But I am also sending my contribution. He said, I am also sending my guy who has skills. Who can do this and can do this. The battery is finished, I know, but everything is finishing today. Hallelujah. He said, I'm sending you my best guy. My best contribution is what I'm sending to support you. Because I can see that your presence, your existence is a manifestation of God's love. I can see that the fact that you are the leader of these people is a sign that God loves them. And number two, I can see what you are doing. I see that God has given you grace. God has given you wisdom to know how to build the kingdom. Do something for God. And so because of what you are doing, I want you to know that you have my support. I want you to know that I've got your back. I want you to know that I'm not going to sit back and watch you suffer and struggle, but I'm sending to you my own contribution also. That's what he's saying over there. Hallelujah. So when you see someone and you see that the person has the responsibility, has the favor of God upon him, the next thing to do is, look, let's rise up and prop him up.
Wow.
Let's help him.
Wow.
Let not his work look like a failure. Do you understand? The guy said, I'm not going to watch you fail. You are building a house of the Lord. You can count on me. I'm sending my most skillful guy who can do every type of work. He can work with stones. He can work with wood. He can work with crimson. He can work with this. He can work. Most people would keep such a guy for themselves to make them look better. But he said, no, that's my donation to your work. That's my contribution to what you're doing. Because I see it's a good work. And I see that you represent something. And I see that God is up to something. I'm not going to be counted out. I'm in there. Hallelujah. I want to encourage all of you. Support Pastor Henry with whatever you can do. Hallelujah. As you see the grace of God upon him, support him with whatever you can do. Hallelujah. Some of you are great and some of you have different skills. You know, like this melody over here. We just recently discovered her. Do you understand? Yeah, we discovered her by accident on a Tuesday evening. That all this time she has been sitting at the back and just watching us, not contributing her gold, not contributing, you know, the stone and the timber. She can work in blue and fine linen and in crimson. She was sitting at the back quietly. And she waited. She kept her song and her voice until my last day. And then she brought it out to tease me. And to let me know, here's what I've been hiding all this time. Bye bye. Yeah. But I also have decided to brace myself and not to be offended. I refuse to be offended by her. Hallelujah. Isn't it a nice verse? I shouldn't have gone without sharing this verse with you. Hallelujah. So if you can see the grace, join the effort. Amen. Because if you join the effort, you have joined the grace. And when you are under the grace, the blessing, you also share in it. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close now.
Jesse, Melody, and Renee. They are all surprises to me today. But they are nice presents for a last day. And AK also brought a revelation. He brought his confession that he's a chorister. Hey! In a cathedral. Singing with pipe organs and that's his resume. That's what's on his experience. Shegun, are you not surprised? Yeah. He sings classical music and Handel's Messiah and this type Mozart and other, you know, Mendelssohn and Bach and you know, Bach, right? Bach, yeah. And so these are the people he has been singing with. Hallelujah. But I know you will join the effort. Hallelujah. I know you will join the effort. I know you will join the effort by the grace of God. Amen.
Amen.
Why don't we bow our heads in prayer?
Yes, Lord.
Just pray.
Yes.
Say, Lord,
yes.
Thank you for where you have brought us. Though we may feel sad in our hearts, we know that it's a good change. We know that you are up to something. We know that your plans and your purposes continue. We know, Lord, that it is well with us. That greater things are yet to come. That we will see even greater things. Greater things are yet to happen here in the name of Jesus. Thank you that you will build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your... Why don't you hold someone's hand and pray for that person? Pray that God will keep them. And just pray and say, Lord, thank you that you have not left us comfortless, but you have left us with someone. And we embrace the person because we know that it is in receiving the person that we get to experience the things you have for us. Just pray and say, Lord, keep this church together. Keep our hearts bound together. Keep our commitment together. May there arise in this church musicians, gifted people, and amazing people with amazing gifts to contribute to the kingdom and the building of the house of God in the name of Jesus. That we will not be people who just sit back and admire from a distance. But whatever God has given us, whatever God has put into us, we will contribute it to his work in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your blessing. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you for the opportunity. And thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Finally, as we close this afternoon, maybe you're here this afternoon and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You know in your heart that you need to be born again. You need to give your life to Jesus. You need your sins to be forgiven. This is the message we brought here, and it's the same message because it's all about salvation. At the end of the day, we must go to heaven when we die. We must go to heaven when Jesus comes. We must make it to heaven. It's not just about coming to church, belonging to a church, or attending a church, but it's about knowing Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. And I don't want to leave this afternoon without giving you that opportunity. You want to give your life to Jesus. The opportunity is here and now. Just raise up your right hand quietly and I'm going to pray with you. Is there anybody here like that? You want to give your life to Jesus today? Just raise up your right hand. Is there anyone like that? Is there anyone who wants to give your life to Jesus today? Or you want to be sure that you are saved? Is there anybody here like that? Thank you, Jesus. Right. Why don't we just say this prayer together, everybody? Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that you are my Lord. And I confess with my mouth that God raised you from the dead. Say, come into my heart.
Forgive my sins. Let your blood wash me. And let your blood cleanse me. And make me a child of God. And help me to live for you, Jesus. Help me to be a true child of God. Help me to be a builder of your work. And a builder of your house. A builder of your house. I want to be, Lord. Help me, Lord. Use me, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Powerful. Amen. Oh, you have communion. Oh, wow. It's a good day to have communion. So let's pray over the communion. Father, we thank you so much for another opportunity to break bread together. We pray in the name of Jesus that you redeem these elements, the bread and the wine. Lord, that you will bless it for our use. That as we take communion today, we will remember that your body is one, broken into many pieces all over the place, but it is one body. And I pray that we will eat this and partake of this communion with that understanding, that though we are many, and though we may be apart, and though we may be in many different places, we are still together and we are still one body. Thank you for bringing us together in this great family. Thank you for giving us each other. Thank you for the new brothers and sisters you have made out of us to each other. Thank you for the people who have come to mean so much to us in the last few years. Thank you for the brothers and for the sisters. And Lord, the singers and that everyone who has done anything and who continues to do anything, even the least person, even the children who have been born in our midst. Thank you for the many different parts of this body. We are grateful, Lord. We pray that we will continue to stay together. We will remain together. That no matter where we go and no matter where we are, no matter which distance it is, nothing shall separate us from the love that binds us together. We thank you, Father, for your blessing in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, because Jesus, whose body was broken for us, he has gone to heaven very far away from us and yet has remained close to us. Let it be so, Lord, that even as we go away, we will still remain close. We will still be together. We will still walk together. We will still influence each other's lives and affect each other for you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Brothers, sisters, we are one and our lives are just begun. In the spirit we are young and we'll live forever. Sons of God, hear us all the world. Gather round the table of the Lord. Eat His body, drink His blood, and we'll sing the song of love. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Sons of God, hear His holy word, gather round the table of the Lord. Eat His body, drink His blood, and we'll sing a song of love. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Sons of God, hear His word.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Why don't you open your bread? Take your bread with me and say the body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ. Monique, how do you say the body of Jesus Christ? Le corps. Le corps de Jesus Christ. Everybody say le corps de Jesus Christ. Everybody say that. Le corps de Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's eat it together. Then you may open the wine and say the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. Le sang de Jésus Christ. Say, le sang de Jésus Christ. Hallelujah. You may drink it. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I will cling to the old rugged cross all my life and exchange it someday for a crown. I will cling for the last time. I will cling Father, we pray that none of us will miss our crown someday in heaven. We pray that going to heaven will forever be before us, that we will not lose our vision of heaven, that in following you, in serving you, we need that goal to keep coming through difficult terrain, through difficult circumstances, to keep our eye on that one goal, the joy that is set before us. I pray that everyone here will make it to heaven one day in the name of Jesus. Thank you for our blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.